Okay, Patty's just going to do a roll call present vote. So please, when your name is called, speak present.
Okay, Zuria.
Present.
Wayne.
Present.
Jeff.
Present.
Jane.
Present.
Mary.
Present.
Melissa.
Present.
George.
Present.
Lisa.
Present.
Carlin.
Present.
Dave. Not yet. Okay. Lee.
I'm here.
Ed.
Here.
Michael.
Present.
JC.
Present.
And Randy.
Present.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Patty. And we will move on now to agenda item number two, the financials. Those were emailed to you, 2.1 and 2.2. The bills and addendum, including April, we will need action on that. And Aaron is on the line if anyone has questions. So I would be open to questions or a motion.
I'll move to approve, Lisa. Ed.
Seconded by Jane. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote. Patty?
Okay, so Zuria?
Yes.
Okay, so this is for approval.
Oh, aye.
Okay, Wayne?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Mary?
Aye.
Melissa?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Carlin?
Aye.
Dave? Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
JC?
Aye.
And Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 2.2. These are the financial reports, including March, also were emailed to you. So I would be open to a motion.
Madam Chair, Jeff moves.
Moved by Jeff, seconded by Michael. Any questions or comments for Aaron? Hearing none, we will vote by roll call.
Okay, Zuria.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
Melissa.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Carlin.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Ed.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
JC.
Aye.
Randy.
Aye.
Okay. We're good.
Okay, thanks, Patty. Moving on to number three on our agenda is our consent agenda. We have three items under the consent, and we can take these all as one. Items 3.1 and 3.2 were in our March packet, which obviously we didn't have our March meeting, but they were in the packet. Item number 3.3, had we approved 3.1 and 3.2, we wouldn't need to come back and do 3.3. So we can take these all at once, but I would be also, if people need to discuss them, we certainly can. So I'd be open to a motion.
Madam Chair, this is Jeff. On page item 3.3, it's page 7, revised policy. The future years on the bottom of the revised policy, it says future years, and the cost of administrating. You know, these, one of the discussions we've had recently is the grant, when we apply for grants and the grants go away, the concern that we don't just assume that those programs or expenditures are going to continue. Just a thought of, is that going to, does that spell that out well enough? I'm not sure that it does or does not.
So, can you hear me, Jeff?
Yes.
What are you saying? So, we get $5,000 or $10,000 and then it goes away, and then what? That's your question, right?
Correct, Madam Chair. Based on discussions we had recently, Randy, I think, felt strongly about that, as some of us, just to make it clear that, again, I think we're all in favor of applying for the grants, but with, just with the understanding that the grant goes away, that doesn't mean that that program or that expenditure is automatically going to be continued. And all what I'm asking is, does that language, you know, where it says staffing for future years and costs of administration, does that explain it tight enough that it's not going to automatically be assumed to be continued if the grant goes away? I'm not saying it doesn't, but I don't know that it does.
Okay, you see me wave my, and I agree, Jeff, that's exactly right, because what Jeff's trying to explain is that we had the, for the interpretation for the Somalians, I believe there was a grant money and that was brought up. They're going to wanted to continue that, and I'm assuming that's where Jeff is relating to. In this quote here, it seems like, okay, that once this grant is gone, are we going to continue it even if we don't get the grant? Is that right, Jeff?
Madam Chair, correct, yes.
And I agree with that. I think we should have it a little bit more, you know, kind of like a deadline. Okay, once this runs out, maybe put that in there that this is no longer continued by the board because of the fact that once the money runs out, we're not going to continue with that program.
Karen?
Madam Chair, I would point out that the policy is actually setting the limit for when the board would approve a grant. And so the policy limit is saying if it's above $6,000, it needs board approval before moving forward. So I would imagine anything that's substantial, we would have an in-depth conversation about it. It's the smaller grants that wouldn't necessarily go to the board for approval, which would be in line with how we do purchasing as well. That's the dollar amount that we set in financial policy for what takes board action in order to have it approved.
Yeah, so it's my understanding these, all grants $6,000 or more, even to apply for them, it has to come to the board for approval. So they can't even apply for them unless it comes to us. And we can determine then. This is just changing that anything under 6,000 doesn't have to come to the board. So I think that's the change in the policy, if I'm reading it right. Nothing else will change.
And Ed had something.
Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, I understand that, but let's just say that we did 10 $6,000 grants, that's $60,000, wasn't approved by the board. I just want to make it clear for this staff and future staffs that just because we get the $6,000 grants, that doesn't mean that that funding, if the grant goes away, continues. And I think the more transparent we are upfront about that, you know, one $6,000 grant may sound innocent enough, but if you start getting six, seven, 10 of them, now you're talking $60,000. It could add up quickly with grants that the board never approved, that suddenly we're dealing with continuing programs that we never even had a discussion on starting. That's my point. And again, I'm not saying the new language It doesn't say that, but I just don't think it makes it clear enough.
Okay, Mary?
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, I agree with you. Not that grant approval needs extraordinary scrutiny, but ongoing. I mean, that they don't continue just by accident. And we, I mean, absorb that in our budget, right? Is that what you're saying, Jeff?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, Ed?
Yeah, I agree with Jeff that I think Jeff's just looking for a little more clarity in the language. I don't think there's any, you know, there's any really looking at that we don't need to apply for these grants. It's just that clarity going down the road here that we don't just assume, and this doesn't really spell that out. So
okay, Bree,
how we could do that other than, you know, gets a little different language in there.
Brianne?
I'm not sure which number it is, but in regards to, for instance, our LSTA mini grant, typically things that are six or less typically are those one-time purchases. For instance, with the LSTA mini grant that we are looking at is partnering with jails to create book club kits. So that would be buying the book club kits once and providing those resources. So it's not something to the extent of the cultural navigator, something that is that large. And this is setting that number where if there would possibly be any of that question or budget conversation, that is typically over six. Otherwise, it is looking at kits or hotspots, typically purchasing things and not staff hours and time.
Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, it seems like there's relatively a lot of consensus to this. I just wrote a sentence here as I'm waiting. An additional sentence that would say grant funding will not guarantee board funding for the future. Something that simple of just, again, I don't care if it's a $6,000 grant, if there's five of them, that's $30,000, just to make it clear that if you apply for a grant, receive a grant without board discussion, just understand that grant funding will not guarantee board funding for the future. That way it's transparent. There's no, staff doesn't get offended, boards don't get caught off guard, something simple.
I agree.
Okay, George?
Yes, I agree with all that discussion. I think we need something in there, either what was just mentioned or something as simple as the program is not continued if grant is gone. And I think that should apply for any grant. That could be universal language.
So something like guaranteed program.
What I was suggesting was that you just say the program is not continued if grant is gone. If the grant is gone, if the grant goes away, the program shouldn't continue. And that's what Jeff was saying.
Okay. Any other comments?
Madam Chair, I agree. It should be up to the board. I mean, you know, we cannot spend the money without board decision beyond the grant.
Okay, so what language are people comfortable with?
Jeff?
Randy?
Oh, he's muted. Hang on, Randy. Okay, you're unmuted. Say that again, Randy.
Oh, all right. I agree with George and And Jeff, but again, what George is stating, that once the grant is discontinued, that program is discontinued. So therefore, if you reapply again, then again, that you need grant money. I think we're just trying to protect the board from not falling asleep or whatever. So I like the wording that George is stating.
Okay. So it seems like we should probably take these separately. So let's go with 3.1. Back up a little bit. Minnesota Public Library Annual Report. That was in your March packet, so I would be open to a motion to approve. Motion's made by Michael and seconded by Mary. Any questions about that? We will vote by roll call.
And this is specifically for the 3.2, right?
No, 3.1.
3.1 is the annual report.
Right.
I think we were talking about the policy revision.
We're not ready for that yet. This is 3.1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so Zaria?
Hi.
Wayne?
Hi.
Jeff?
Hi.
Jane?
Hi.
Mary?
Hi.
Melissa?
Hi.
George?
Hi.
Lisa?
Hi.
Carlin?
Hi.
Lee?
Hi.
Ed?
Hi.
Michael?
Hi.
JC?
Hi.
And Randy?
Hi.
Okay, so now we'll move on to 3.2. So I would be open to a motion. This is the policy revision, so it sounds like people are wanting to add an extra line.
Lisa, Ed here, can we vote on that without having that language in front of us, or can we amend it or something here?
We need this in order to act on the next item, correct, Karen?
Well, they could make the motion with the amended language if they wanted to.
Yeah, we can make the motion with the amended language spoken if the board is comfortable with that.
Madam Chair.
Randy.
Randy?
Anyway, maybe if George could just repeat what he's stating, would that make it a lot easier? Okay, this is what no one made the motion yet, I don't believe. So we can make a motion with more discussion with the amendment, and I would like to have George read what he said.
Okay, George?
Okay, what I said earlier was add the sentence, program is not continued if grant is gone or lost.
Maybe gone is not the right word, but I get the idea, and I agree with that.
I was either gone / lost, you could say, or just gone would probably be. It's
expired or whatever.
Discontinued.
Lisa, yeah, discontinued or expired.
I might be more comfortable with program is not guaranteed if grant funding is discontinued.
Well, that makes sense too.
Because it would have to come back to the board if it's something that's absolutely stellar, that is very much adding to the to what we do as libraries. So I'm more comfortable saying something like, program is not guaranteed if grant funding is discontinued. I see a lot of heads shaking, yes, a few thumbs up.
Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, I'll move that language.
Second.
So there's a first and a second. Any other discussion? Okay, then we'll vote by roll call. Patty, for this is just item 3.2. Thank you.
All right, so Zuria.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
Melissa.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Carlin.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye. Does that count as three votes?
Well, we'll see. I can put three check marks. Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
JC?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So moving on now to item 3.3, Library Services and Technology, a mini-grant application that was in your packet. So, Brianne, do you want to talk about this a little more?
Yeah, I can. Kind of as I briefed earlier, this is an opportunity working with Patron Services Librarian Jade, and we are forming a relationship with our county jails. We currently do not have a working relationship with them, and so this grant would give us the opportunity to present them with 6 book club kits that they would be able to keep, and half of the books are based off of re-entry skills, and it would also involve materials or our Find It brochures that would be offered to those upon re-entry to build that connection between the library and our jails.
Okay, thanks. So I would be open to a motion. Okay, motion made by Randy. Is there a second?
Michael.
Seconded by Ed. Unless I missed someone else. And any questions? Okay, we'll vote by roll call.
Madam Chair, question?
Yes, Mary.
Oh, I think, maybe it was muted right there. So have we done this before? I mean, we've been talking about jails before. Is this brand new?
This is brand new.
Yes.
And is it a top priority or just because the grant's available?
The grant only becomes available once a year. So if we would receive the funding, it wouldn't come through until summer.
This coming summer?
This coming summer, right.
Not that I disagree. I just wonder if we have other priorities right now or.
This is something we've been talking about, but haven't had the funding to do.
All right.
Okay, we'll take a roll call vote.
All right. So Surya.
Okay, I need to ask people, if you're not speaking, will you please mute? Because we're getting some feedback.
Yeah. That was... Surya, you want to try again, please?
Go ahead.
Surya?
Aye.
Wayne?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Mary?
Aye.
Melissa?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
I can learn to understand you much better if I can get familiar with the way you talk. I need
Harlan?
Aye.
Michelle? Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael? Michael?
Aye. Okay.
And JC?
Aye.
And Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Oh, Lisa's muted. Again.
Moving on to number four. So this is typical. We've done this in the past, that one or more members from the finance committee participate in the audit outtake meeting. This is going to be happening on April 23rd. At 8 a.m. So I just want to know if there's one or more finance members. This will be happening via Zoom or something like this, some type of call. If there are finance members that would be available at 8 a.m. on April 23rd to be part of that. We only need one, but we've had as many as three.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Jeff Bertram, I've done that before. Very informative. You really learn a lot more in depth than what we learn at all the finance and board meetings. So I certainly would be willing to do it again because I'm a little bit familiar with it. And I do think it helps to have more than one board member just because, again, it gives a whole unique perspective.
Okay, Jeff. Anyone else?
Lisa, I would do being I'm the finance chair.
Okay, Jeff and Ed and Randy, you were waving.
Yeah, the reason I was waving, is this going to be a webinar or what is this here going to be?
Yes, most likely some form of meeting like this or by phone.
Hmm. All right, thank you. I mean, I'd be interested too, but it seems like you already have enough that can go on, so... I'm good with that.
Okay, so Jeff and Ed, that would be great if you guys can plan on that April 23rd at 8 a.m.
Madam Chair, three certainly wouldn't be too many, would it?
No, and I may join also unless Randy really wants to.
Oh, he's muted.
He's muted.
All right, Lisa, if you'd like to take it on, then I will... be happy to give it to you. Unless you want me to do it, then otherwise you can have it. So.
Thanks, Randy. I think I'll do it this year if that's okay. So Jeff, Ed, and Lisa.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, that's it for that number four. So moving on to number five, I'm going to turn it over to Karen for mileage and per diem clarification.
So 2 points. The first, for today's meeting, if you plan to claim the per diem, please send an email to Patty, and that will serve as our documentation that you are claiming per diem for this meeting. So again, if you want to claim per diem for today, please email Patty and let her know that. The other thing that I learned since our last board meeting is that our practice of paying both a per diem and mileage for a library board meeting is actually counter to Minnesota statute. So going forward, we will have to either pay mileage or a per diem for board members, and you can choose to claim that at the time of the meeting. Obviously, we're not claiming mileage today, so I'm assuming if you're responding to Patty, you're claiming per diem. But for future board meetings, you will need to choose, if you're claiming reimbursement, whether it is a per diem reimbursement or a mileage reimbursement. Lisa, you're muted. There you go. Oh, try again. The toggle likes to hop off. There you go.
I should only let Jay control my mic. we're fighting with each other. Randy?
Yes, Madam Chair. The statute, Karen, is that for all types of organizations, or is this something that they have special for libraries?
I believe it's special for libraries. The statute reference I received was from State Library Services. And if you want to read the statute, it's statute 134.10, board vacancies and compensation. So it's specific to library boards.
And if I may, Madam Chair, is that an interpretation by you, Karen, and not that I'm saying disagreeing or agreeing, or is this something that could be interpreted different ways?
I can read it if you'd like. It says, library board members shall receive no compensation for their services, but may be reimbursed for actual and necessary travel expenses incurred in the discharge of library board duties and activities, or a per diem allowance according to section 375.47 in place of the expenses. So it's pretty straightforward.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Okay, so we're going to move on to number 6. And this is all going to be Karen, this next section. Correct?
Yes. So I wanted to give you all a little deeper dive in the activities that have happened since we've closed the library on March 17th. There may not be doors open across the region, but our staff has really stepped up to the plate in terms of offering different and modified services across the region. We launched virtual story time, and that's been going on at least weekly. We're shooting for bi-weekly, and there is an interest in expanding that to local book groups. So if you watch our Facebook pages, you'll see some of those virtual story times posted. Our outreach patron services librarian, Jade Lauber, did some outreach session to Whitney Senior Center this week. It was an online session on how to use the library website and access virtual services, and that was very well received. So we do have a better model of doing outreach virtually in this time, which is kind of fabulous. We have Beanstack, which is our reading app, and we have 4 challenges going on. Things like 1,000 books before kindergarten, some STEM challenges, and then an April reading challenge. We launched curbside services at 5 libraries last week. The pilots went very well, and we're expanding it to 9 more sites this week. As of this afternoon, over 1,457 items have been checked out via curbside services in the last week and a half. So that's a huge improvement. We haven't been able to move physical materials up until last week. Email and chat reference are still being monitored, and we're actually monitoring our local queue more than we had been in the past. That's through our 24/7 chat reference service called Axman, which is a statewide collaboration for chat reference. But because we're able to do that alongside our virtual work, that's been going very well. E-card applications and renewals have been very strong. Our staff are struggling a bit to keep up with all the demand for it. Follow-up questions are being answered in addition to processing the applications. We've got some people on the call right now who are actually doing that work every day, and people are really happy to be able to access their library accounts and the digital library. The digital library, we circulated more than 20,000 items last in March, which is a record-breaking month for us, and 17.7% more active users than last year. Jamie and her staff have been working hard to add additional content. We've been shifting dollars from our physical collection budget into the digital collection budget in order to keep up with demand. One of our biggest challenges with the digital collection is, it's not dollar for dollar the same. Right now, 55% of our audio content on Overdrive is checked out. And compare that to 24% of the eBooks. You can see that audio is definitely the higher demand service. But at the same time, $3,700 bought 64 e-audiobooks, and $2,200 bought 93 eBooks. So it's just not quite the same as buying the physical materials, but they are very well received by the public. We've actually connected our Tumble books to some of our school libraries so that they can access them without library cards, so that digital content is being accessed in new ways. We have a streaming work group that is working on launching streaming services. Back in 2018, we did set aside dollars for this, but we haven't launched the platform. So we've actually had some time to focus on that and try to get that project up and running. Unfortunately, we had to discontinue the locally grown campaign because it's the one campaign that we run across the desk, and it didn't make sense to continue to do that in March when we weren't open. So Brianne and her staff have been working on launching a Library Giving Day campaign on April 23rd next week during National Library Week. And that will focus on adding dollars to our digital collection. We're seeing over 1,000 active borrowers logging into their accounts every day, which is pretty substantial. All of our staff are working on compliance training. We have over half of them through that compliance training, so we likely won't need to do an all staff day in the fall, which is fortunate because getting 280 people in the room in October may or may not happen, regardless of what we want. We're also looking at a hotline that will be answered by staff around the region. So there'll be an 800 number where you can call in and ask questions about the library, about reference, you know, do you need information on how to file for unemployment? Where do you get tested for COVID-19? We're hoping to staff that fairly soon. We have the technical capability to do it as of today, thanks to our stellar IT staff. And we've got people working on this call on getting those staff members kind of lined up and scheduled. So we're looking forward to being able to launch that. We also received a patron suggestion. I think Randy Winter actually received this about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks, to maybe do some type of one book, one community read. And I passed that along to our state library collaborative. And that moved on to the St. Paul Friends of the Library. And you probably saw in the media today, there is now a One Book, One Minnesota campaign with Gwen Walls, Governor Walls's wife, leading the charge. And we're gonna all be reading Kate DiCamillo's Because of Winn-Dixie, which is available in eBooks Minnesota as a on-demand title, which means there's no holds on it. And it's also available in our Tumble Books library. So we're really excited to be able to be part of that. And thanks to Commissioner Winter for passing on that suggestion, because it went pretty far, pretty fast. Kudos to you. The last thing I'd like to mention on this topic is the Regional Library Telecommunications aid that we receive is currently limited to things that are E-rate eligible under Category 1 and Category 2. And we've been working with the state library to try to get that legislation opened up so that we can use it for additional things that would fit under the realm of telecommunications. Like for us, maybe the Sartell GRL2Go locker system could be paid for, that connection could be paid for from those funds if the legislative definition was changed, or if wanted to circulate more hotspots, that is something that we could also receive funding for through that grant. And right now, Senate File 3517 is working its way through the legislature. It is part of the education COVID relief package, and it is likely to expand the uses of the telecommunications aid if all of the Category 1 and Category 2 needs are met across the state. We may be able to purchase hotspots, but they've also broadened the language to even possibly allow for digital library content. So more to come on that, but if you hear anything about library aid in the education bill, that is likely what they're talking about. So I can answer any other questions, and we've got some fabulous people on our staff who are also on the call. If you have any, want some details on some of the services being offered, I can't say enough how innovative and forward-thinking and just level-headed our staff have been. Our curbside services would not be launching if we didn't have enthusiastic staff wanting to try it. And they've been doing their research, making sure we can do these things in a safe way, and at the same time, adding and enhancing services to the public that we may be even able to continue once we are reopened.
Yeah. So thanks, Karen, for that update. And I have been able to be on a few of the calls. I try to get on once or twice a week with the staff. And, you know, under Karen's leadership, I am impressed every time I'm on the call with the enthusiasm and the creativity and just the energy that they're keeping up with. And so I just really want to say a shout out to Patty, Rachel, Aaron, Brandy, Jamie, Jay, Brianna, and Julie, all on the call also with us tonight, for their continued work and support of our communities through library services. So with that, and Karen's update, and she has also sent us out updates, which I really appreciate. Any questions or comments from board members? Jane.
Question, how are you going to do the infection control part of that when they bring the books back? If they are contaminated with COVID-19, how do you clean them? Do you wait like 3 days or 5 days and let them sit? Does staff wear masks when they're restocking those? Just briefly.
Sure. At this point right now, we're working with information we received from the CDC, IMLS, and public health. And right now, curbside is only in a lending model. We're not having people return items. And we're extending due dates out until when we think we may reopen. So we've moved that due date out a couple of times. And right now, it's set to May 23rd with the idea that people aren't returning things. We have had people return stuff in our book drops. Some of them didn't lock. And through that CDC webinar, we've learned that the best way to disinfect materials is just to give them a quarantine period. And for books, that's only 24 hours. That's actually recommended by the CDC. So what we're looking at for a longer quarantine possibly is some of the content, like our DVDs that are in plastic packaging, and giving that maybe a 3-day return. But that's still up in the air and how we're handling it, because each location is different. So how a book drop gets handled when the book drop is outside, for example, might be different than if the book drop is inside the building, because being outside subjects the materials to different temperature fluctuations, which also inhibits the virus from growing. So we are working with our staff to figure out what makes sense in each location.
JC?
Let's see. There you go.
So Jane, that was the exact question that I had about returning material. So I'm glad to hear that you have it under control, especially not having things returned right now. The other question I had, which locations are doing the curbside pickup and which ones are you thinking about opening?
Well, I can give you the 5 from last week, but I can't give you the 9 from this week. Maybe somebody else can list them off. It's been a bit of a moving target. So last week we launched in Foley, Clearwater, Becker, Sauk Center, and Upsala. And those were the places where there was a sweet spot between really enthusiastic staff and really enthusiastic cities. And so that allowed us to make sure that our facilities were being handled and cleaned correctly, that the city was okay with us trying it. And then in some of the locations like Becker and Foley, it allowed us to test it in a facility that was shared with either a community center or the city hall, so we could learn how that worked. We have 9 more libraries that are launching this week. And we've learned a lot just in the 1 week, which has been super helpful. And I anticipate we're going to continue to grow that, because it's, even once the stay at home order is lifted, it's pretty unlikely we're going to be able to allow large crowds of people in the library, and that people will be able to just come in and pick up books if, you know, they've got someone at home who's sick. This is a service we may be able to offer. One of the best parts of offering it right now is that we're scheduling it for the people who have items that were already on hold March 16th and 17th. We are starting to pull materials, but those books have been sitting there for 2 weeks, so there's no doubt that they're okay. And staff are actually calling and scheduling the appointments so that we don't have multiple people coming to the building at the same time. So we're just trying to build social distancing into the process itself as well.
Okay, Zuria?
Oh, you'll need to unmute. There.
Yeah, you have to unmute.
Okay. Yeah.
So quick question. So curbside pickup is not exactly curbside pickup. You have to come in the building to pick up the materials.
It's completely contactless. So they call and schedule, and the materials are checked out and waiting outside the building. In some cases, it's on a table. It kind of depends on the location and how it's set up. In Sauk Center, they actually are using an easel on the sidewalk to show where you're supposed to stop and pick it up.
And are there certain times for that then?
Yes, it's all scheduled.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Madam Chair.
Mary?
Question. So how do you do this? You call the library, your branch?
They call you. You place an item on hold, and once it's there and ready for you at the library, staff call you and say your item's ready to be picked up, and these are the times you could pick it up. Which time do you want to come?
I see. Okay. Other
questions or comments? Or if any of the staff have other comments about it?
No. The brains behind the operation are definitely on this call.
So. I know they are. I want to recognize with the board, we are beyond our agenda time. So I just want to mention that if anyone needs to go, we do have one more action item later in our meeting, but I want to be respectful of people's time. Are we all okay? I think these things are important for us to hear as board members and to have a good touch point with our staff tonight. So give me a nod if you're okay with us going a little later. Okay, thank you. Zuria, you had another comment? No.
Okay. I do have one comment from Jamie from the chat, because I don't know that the chat's going as part of the record. She wanted to clarify that the school connection we've set up with our digital library is actually through Overdrive, not TumbleBooks. So I misspoke. But the school districts that are now directly connected to our digital library are Pierce, Dassel, Cocato, and Albany.
Okay. And the chat, so staff knows the chat is not going to the board. So,
right.
So you have to talk to us. Jamie.
So yes, the school districts for that particular program are the Piers, Cocato, Dassel, and Albany. And Piers actually reached out to us before this situation happened. But essentially, these are schools that have the Sora app, which is Overdrive's public school product. So essentially, it's linking our collection with their collection. There's no additional cost for either party. So it's just a nice way to supplement the materials that are available through the school, making it very easy. They authenticate with the school library or the school's login, their barcode.
Okay, thank you. JC?
Just a quick question for Jamie on that. Will that continue after the emergency, after the COVID emergency, or will the school part, or will that be ended after that?
That will continue.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so why don't we move on then to the hotspot grant update, Karen?
Sure. So State Library Services, as part of the Department of Education's efforts to increase access for students with distance learning, recently offered a round of funding to all regional public library systems. It was similar to the grants that we've seen with regional library telecommunications aid, legacy funding, regional library basic system support. So only regional public library systems are eligible for it. And they had a formula for the total amount for each system to apply for in order to circulate hotspots in the region. We qualified for $4,300 worth of funding. We have not yet received the OGAN, which is the grant agreement with the state, but they've given us permission to order those hotspots. We should be getting those in within the next month or so. And we hope to use the lending model or something like it that we've been using out in Piers. If you remember, we've been circulating Wi-Fi to go in Piers using fund development dollars to support it. This will give us enough subscriptions for the next 6 months for 21 hotspots. And the locations we're looking at right now are areas of the region that have low broadband reach or a high percentage of households without internet. And so we're looking at Little Falls, Upsala, Belgrade, and Foley. I think there might have been one other. Little Falls, Upsala, Belgrade, Foley. I'm missing one, but we don't have the hotspots yet. So it'll be a little bit. We'll have to work out logistics. Our goal is to have curbside services up and running in those locations so that even if we're not fully open, once those hotspots come in, we have a way for people to check them out and return them.
Okay, any questions or comments? We'll move on to the 2020 budget discussion.
So Erin took a look through all our revenue lines, and I'm going to move to a screen share if that's okay. Mm-hmm. So that you can take a look at our financial report while I'm talking about this to make it a little easier. So right now, all of our counties have paid their second quarter amounts. As of the end of March, we didn't quite have them all in the door, but they are all in right now, which means we are fully funded for the 2020 budget through the end of June. The biggest revenue line we anticipate a possible shortfall in right now is the fines revenue, because we had budgeted $320,000. We actually budgeted that amount before we had fines, juvenile no fines in place. And now with library material due dates being extended and libraries being closed, we aren't collecting as much fines revenue as we would have even guessed possible. So Erin's best estimate is we'll be about $60,000 short in that budget category. And in terms of impact on state aid, which is our other substantial amount, we've received all but this 10%. And if the state decides to delay aid payments to schools at some point, we may not see that total amount this year. It's pretty unlikely that'll happen for fiscal year 2020, but it could impact the timing of payments for the fiscal year 2021 budget. So in terms of revenue, we're not anticipating a short-term issue with our budget. The only thing that could dramatically impact the rest of 2020 is the timing of signatory receipts. If property taxes don't come in as anticipated in May 15th, then our counties may need to make some adjustments. Historically, the counties have always come through with the payments that they've pledged, even in the height of the recession. Our commissioners probably have a better idea of whether that's likely to happen. In terms of the actual expenditures, right now our staff are being paid library closure time if they're not working. We are getting more and more people back to work as we've been expanding these services. Some staff have been working every day, whether it's from home or on site. other staff are now phasing into that work as we're launching things like curbside services and virtual programming. Once we get the 800 number up and running, I anticipate we'll have more staff working, answering those calls as well. In my calls with other library directors around the state, those phone services are actually pretty high demand. Down in Rochester, the Rochester Public Library actually serves as the call center for their continuing operations for both the city and the county at this point, because they're part of that plan. So I don't know that we'll get that level of calling, but it will put more people back to work. In terms of other budget impacts, we anticipate our substitute usage will be down. We likely will not use as many programming dollars as we normally would because we're not doing programs right now. And I'll be surprised if we're able to do programs this summer. We'll see what the direction is around gatherings and having members of the public in contact with each other. That's really going to set the stage for what types of programs we'll be able to offer. In terms of meetings, we don't anticipate doing an all-staff day this fall, so there'll be some savings in the personnel budget there as well. And then we still have a vacant position right now, a partially vacant position in communications and development that is continuing to be held open, so there's some savings from that that should help us maintain the budget itself. So other budget lines like mileage that we probably won't be spending as much of because people aren't driving around the region right now. I mean, that may pick up again at the end of the year, but right now that's not happening. And then in terms of library materials, Jamie and her staff have been able to shift from electronic books and materials to electronic services and spend more in that category instead. And we also have fund development dollars that support those digital services. So we should be okay for the next several months, no matter what happens. And then our goal is to get more people back working so that we have fewer people on library closure pay in the short term. And I don't know how far down the rabbit hole you all want me to go here. So
why don't we just stop there, Karen, and take questions or comments if board members have them, or staff. Jeff.
You'll need to unmute yourself, Jeff.
Madam Chair, just to encourage the board now more than ever, I've asked Karen and Aaron a lot of financial questions when we look at the financial sheets and then a number of things. It's really important, especially now because we're not meeting as committees, that the board members, I just want to encourage that they do the same thing, that they really look even more closely at the financials and all these things, ask the kind of questions. I've had great dialogue with Karen and Aaron, and not to bother or not to bore anyone, if we all ask a lot of questions, it might help Aaron and Karen and the staff to make sure that they are looking at all angles and we all have a different perspective in this. So I think it's really, really important that we, even now more than ever, because we're not meeting in finance, we're not meeting personnel, we're not meeting in these individual committees. So it's important that we really step up our role individually because we're not meeting together.
Thanks, Jeff, and stay tuned on that because we are going to propose a finance meeting. So, but others? Zuria?
Library closure pay.
So library closure pay is part of it's technically part of our inclement weather policy. It's the same policy we leaned on in the arson when we closed St. Cloud for several months. And library closure pay says that staff are paid for their regular time.
Mm-hmm.
Library is closed due to an emergency.
Okay.
So, you know, when the policy was written, they were imagining, you know, the power went out that day. Clearly, they were thinking of COVID-19, but it is a pretty flexible policy, which allows us to keep staff on the payroll and not deal with the morale busting that happens with furloughs and layoff in the short term. I mean, if this goes on for several months, certainly we would take a look at that. But right now we're in a position where we don't have to worry about whether or not we have the funds to support an employment claim, for example. And that's one thing I didn't share, but we do not have unemployment as part of our regular budget. It is actually a designated fund. And at this time, that fund has $30,000 in it. So if we were to do anything more permanent, we would probably have to make budget adjustments as well.
Okay. Michael?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I imagine that the library board is similar to the county. We pay dollar for dollar on unemployment, so it's really not that big a benefit for us to go down that path if we can avoid it.
Yes, we are a reimbursing employer just as the counties are.
Yep. Other questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
Mary.
So what are you looking for?
This was just an update from Karen. So we need no action on this. So just kind of an update. Mm-hmm. So any other questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Karen, are you ready to move on then?
Yes, unless the board wants us to take a different course, we are happy with where we're at. We're very grateful to have the flexibility to work within the existing policies to be able to focus on advancing the services rather than dealing with the day-to-day of how do people get paid. It's been really helpful to be able to focus on that. So we appreciate that.
And should that change at all, Karen and I have talked about that, you know, if need be, we would call an executive committee meeting if needed. But at this point, we don't believe that's necessary. And I'm not seeing that or hearing that from board members. If you think differently or have other questions, please call Karen, Aaron, give me a call, and let us know your thoughts on that. Okay. Then I'm going to suggest we move on to agenda item number 7, Families First Coronavirus Response Act. And this, I'm going to turn it over to Julie.
Thank you. These are some policy changes that we'd like to add, and they are in response to the Families First Coronavirus Act that has been passed, and it basically provides some emergency leave benefits for employees. It's a temporary act, so it goes through the end of the year. So while it may not be applicable to us right now because we have people on either library closure or we're not able to work, we do want it in place because it does go through the end of the year. It basically provides some paid sick leave if somebody is under a quarantine order or taking care of someone who is. That's a 2-week period for 80 hours if you're full-time and part-time based on your regularly scheduled hours. And so it just provides your pay for that period of time. There are some maximums built into the act of 511 per day. So basically everything in what I'm adding, it's in addition to our time off policy. And it's just a temporary one that we would use this year is coming right from the requirements in the act. It also has a component of emergency leave. So we're just adding this as an amendment to our medical leave policy, which incorporates our family and medical leave procedures. And this is where if somebody needs a leave because their kids aren't in school or their daycare shut down again related to COVID. And it follows the basic family and medical leave requirements of a total of 12 weeks off. So it isn't an additional FMLA time. It can be part of the 12 weeks that all eligible employees are able to take. And so it has first 2 weeks are unpaid and then the pay is 2/3 of their regular rate of pay times your regularly scheduled hours. And then that again doesn't exceed 200 a day. So we just are looking, again, they're temporary just until December 30th. That's made very clear in the policies. But we just wanted to have them in place for when and if we do need to start following these guidelines.
Okay, and this is an action item, and I think we can take them both in one action, correct, Patty and Julie?
Yeah.
And Karen?
I think so. Patty, yeah. That?
Yeah, I think that is fine because they go hand in hand.
Yeah. And many of us have been involved with these, have passed these on our other entities, probably all of us almost. So, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of item
7.2. Is that a motion?
Yes, it is.
Michael, motion made by Michael. Jane is seconding. Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Jeff?
Jeff Bertram. Two questions. One, the temporary was defined then that it's through the end of the year. Is it specific to the virus?
Yes, yes. Okay. So it lists six reasons that either the emergency sick leave or extended FMLA would come into place. It's very specific. You'd need to be under a quarantine order, or you'd need to be seeking a diagnosis with symptoms with a medical provider, or you need to be taking care of someone who is under a quarantine order, or you do need to have that situation where your school has closed and your kids are home, and or that your daycare closed. And we do have a form that we've created, so if somebody would have a request, we'd be able to do our due diligence of making sure it falls under the categories.
And Madam Chair, Julie, who decides that or who acts on that?
All requests would come through HR. We would manage them.
Got it. And Madam Chair, the last question is, regardless of the number of hours regularly worked, is that common in all of our PTO and all of our benefits?
No. Even the current Family and Medical Leave Act, which has been around since 1993, has some hours requirements, but this particular act does not have any hours threshold.
And again, it's specific to this temporary.
Right.
Got it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, JC?
I just wanted to point out, unless I'm reading it wrong, it looks like on page 13 there might be a typo. On number 2, under causation, it says if the employee does not have work available for the employee, I think it should be employer.
Okay.
Before we pass it.
Thank you, JC. Mary?
Well, I think my question has been answered. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, Randy?
If I just may point this out to follow up on this action item, with this form, I don't believe you need to have a doctor's appointment or no doctor's appointment, a doctor showing that you may have the virus. It's just, you know, taking someone's word that they're out for that reason, and there's no stipulation that states, hey, we got to have proof that you have to been tested. And again, correct me if I'm wrong on that one, Julie, but that's our interpretation at the county level.
Right. You wouldn't need to prove that you've been tested, but you do need to have been in communication with a doctor who's maybe said you should be staying home or quarantining yourself. Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh.
Julia or Lisa, I think as all the counties know, I think they've all discussed that within the last couple of weeks here that every county is doing the same. It's pretty much the same format that we discussed last Tuesday. So I think it's a good idea.
Yes, I can't see you guys anymore. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't know what I did, but I can't see anyone. So yes, we did this also at our county level just this last week. So any other questions? And I can't see you, so
waving to Waving won't help, huh?
No. Okay, so we do have a motion and a second. So all in favor, we will take a roll call and I'll try to find you.
Okay. Surya.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
Melissa.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Carlin. Carlin?
I don't see her on the call.
I don't see her anymore.
Oh, maybe she had to go. All right. Lee? Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
JC?
Aye.
And Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's it with number 7. Number 8 just refers to our next meeting is May 19th. So mark your calendars for that. I would also like to recommend, if possible, that the Finance Committee meet. Where's Ed? Ed, I apologize I didn't chat with you about this earlier, but can you see if April 28th, it's also a Tuesday, might work? We're just trying to stay a little bit on schedule with our budgeting process. And
I agree. I'll check. Can I get back to you on that, Lisa, to check if I have anything else? Was you looking at day or morning?
Patty can do some checking too with everyone who's on finance. We were just hoping to get, we didn't have the March meeting, so we were kind of hoping to get a meeting before the May board meeting to get us back on track.
Yeah, I understand that. Why don't we just, everybody check and then Patty can see if we can coordinate something either around or on that time, the 28th of April.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, there's some flexibility in that. We've got plenty of time even after that. So if you can just check Ed and then connect with Patty and we'll take it from there. Okay?
Gotcha, Lisa. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else? Then I just want to again thank the staff for being on tonight and for all their work, and thank all the board members. So it's great to see everyone, and I would be open to a motion to adjourn.
Moved
by Michael, seconded by Mary. So we are adjourned. Everyone stay well and be healthy.